top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Thursday, August 26th in the headlines. Brent and Williams of Wesley is now on $120,000 bail after police searched a building occupied by him on August 12, seized €296,680 and arrested and charged him with money laundering. Antigua's curfew has been reset to 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., wherein all bars and gyms will be closed as the government focuses on the impact of COVID-19 on the hospital and emergency centers, schools, and other public spaces. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warns that some 1,500 U.S. citizens may still be awaiting evacuation from Afghanistan, and the State Department is aggressively reaching out to them as the August 31 deadline looms. The news is brought to you, compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Hassle-free loans for your every need. Courts have you covered, best believe. Courts ready cash is for everyone. Not to worry, fast approval. Hurry up and come, come, come. We got it all, we on the go. Courts ready cash, you already know. We got it all, we on the go, go, go. Courts ready cash, always ready when you're ready, let's go.
Courts ready cash, ready when you are.
The police and other law enforcement officials say they executed a search warrant at a building occupied by Brenton Williams of Wesley, residing at Picard on August 12, 2021. They claim that during the search, €296,680 was found and seized. Brenton was arrested in charge of money laundering and appeared before a magistrate, where he was granted bail in the sum of $120,000.
The matter is set for November 19, 2021. Meanwhile, on that same day, August 12, 2021, a 24-year-old male is under investigations after €149,000 and 50,000 Eastern Caribbean currency was found in vehicle registration number TM536, allegedly occupied by the young man at Picard. The cash was seized and has since been deposited into the Proceeds of Crime Detainer Fund account. The investigation in this matter continues.
Police PRO Inspector John Carbon. President of the Dominica Nurses Association, Mignon Roll Shillingford, contends that nurses are the highest driving force in Dominica's health program. Hence, she wants to empower and motivate her nursing colleagues to take the vaccine. Shillingford says hesitancy in terms of the COVID-19 vaccines is alarming in Dominica and elsewhere.
I have been in discussions with all of my sister islands in terms of uptick and hesitancy amongst nurses. This is the same alarming evidence that we are seeing. I want to continue to employ you to do what is right. Think about your risk as a healthcare provider. Think about the possibility of you returning home with the virus. Seek clear information. We have done this over and over again. Vaccines remain the single most effective, efficient, and safe way of eliminating infection.
President of the Dominica Nurses Association, Mignon Roll Shillingford. The Ministry of Health has confirmed the passing of a 39-year-old female with pre-existing conditions. This was revealed by Dr. Pearl James, nephrologist at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, at Tuesday's Ministry of Health COVID-19 update. Dr. James says the cause of death was hypovolemic shock secondary to profuse bleeding, and according to the WHO and PAHO, it was not a COVID-related death.
On August 12, 2021, the patient was admitted to the COVID-19 isolation unit at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. After being found to be positive on the COVID-19 antigen testing as part of routine widespread testing on Monday, August 23, 2020, the patient passed away from hypovolemic shock secondary to perfused bleeding. With the goal of explicitly and accurately identifying deaths related to COVID-19, the ministry classifies COVID-19 related deaths in accordance with World Health Organization international guidelines for certification and classification coding of COVID-19 as cause of death. Upon consultation with PAHO offices in Barbados and Washington, the death cannot be classified as COVID-19 related.
The Ministry of Health extends condolences to the families and friends of the deceased and calls on the public to adhere to all the protocols during this time.
The Government of Dominica and the Ministry of Health, Wellness, and the New Health Investment extend deepest sympathies to her family and loved ones during this difficult time. I also wish to extend my personal condolences as the deceased was also one of my patients. The ministry urges compassion and empathy at this time and calls on all citizens to respect the family's right to confidentiality and privacy as they mourn the passing of this loved one. The ministry is encouraging the public to remain vigilant and adhere to all public health protocols, recommending such as the use of masks, personal hygiene, physical distancing, sanitization of frequently used surfaces. Remember, let's all build our resilience in COVID-19. Get vaccinated, eat healthy, and stay active.
Dr. Pearl James, sales manager at the Dominica National Lottery, Ken George, says due to the adjustments made in the SRO pertaining to business operating hours, changes have been made to its operations from Wednesday, August 24.
The main office operating hours are from Mondays to Fridays, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. On Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. The daily draws will be as follows. Morning draws, Monday to Friday, from 9:30 a.m., midday draws 1:30 p.m. and evening draws 5:30 p.m. Saturday draws are morning 9:30 a.m. and midday 12:30 p.m. to include all evening games such as Powerball, Tic-Tac-Toe and the others. We apologize for any inconvenience these changes may have caused.
Sales manager at the Dominica National Lottery, Ken George. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says works are ongoing on the proposed international airport for Dominica and several other projects despite the COVID-19 spike. He made the announcement while speaking on the local radio program.
Going on, we've started clearing the site at the airport, and all of the associated works continue to be done where the airport is concerned. You'll see us revamping our housing program as we pass the budget. You know, we got delayed because of this COVID the entire month of August. We've been preoccupied with this COVID stuff. We are finalizing the preparations for the commencement of roadworks in Great George Street and Independence Street, you know, the Rose Enhancement Project. We're rolling out now the housing, especially regards to the European-funded housing in the Canigou Territory, 50-50 homes. The contracts have been signed for these homes. Also, a number of people who are benefiting from the loan funds that we contracted from the World Bank for the housing, the $40 million, that homes have started to be built, and beneficiaries are excited about that. We are finalizing the plans for the construction of a new health center in Roseau, in St. Joseph, and in Tavern Pie in the Cottage constituency. We also put in plans in place for the construction of an administrative complex in Portsmouth on the site of the Public Works Corporation there. It will be a multi-story building that will have all of the government services there and conference hall for the people of Portsmouth, among other facilities.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Customers at the Wasco will now be able to pay their bills through the MLAJA wallet following the launch of the MLAJA de Wasco bill payment system, which took place on Wednesday. General Manager of the Wasco, Bernard Etinoff, says when MLAJA approached the company with this initiative, it was welcomed as it was seen as an alternative to receive payments facilitating its customers, but at the same time contributing to the observance of the physical distancing protocol set by the Ministry of Health.
So we welcomed it as we saw this also as a means whereby we could contribute to curbing the spread of this deadly disease. So we are pleased that this initiative has now materialized thus far to facilitate our customers with online real-time payments and other means of accessing information. And so we are pleased today that, you know, we are at this stage. We understand what is required. We understand how to make this happen. And I'm sure our customers will experience, you know, the benefits of this.
General Manager of DOASCO, Bernard Etanoff. Pathologist Dr. Gail Defoe calls on Dominicans and the wider Caribbean citizenry to use their common sense and resist vaccine hesitancy, as evidence indicates that COVID vaccines are medically effective and are working.
I've heard it said that the vaccines were made to kill Blacks and that vaccines are killing Blacks. Let's use our common sense. Blacks, if the Blacks have the lowest numbers of vaccinated persons in the US, North America, and worldwide, and we have not taken the vaccine to the degrees that we should, how can it be that our deaths are being caused by COVID vaccines when we're not taking them? Secondly, if even before COVID, Blacks had the highest mortality rates in the US and the worldwide, and it is now same after the COVID, it is bad. How can we singly, handedly blame COVID or the vaccines? This fight can not only be about COVID, but about the huge disparities that exist in health allocations and the ability of the Black race to access its health based in decades of mismanagement and societal discriminations that still exist today. My fear is that not only were we physical slaves, but that now, due to COVID, we can become economic slaves as well. Historic racial inequalities exist and are the major leading factors today for the increased sickness, the immune system dysfunction, and the early deaths that we see from the diseases of COVID in our Black economies and countries.
Defoe rubbishes claims that COVID-19 was created to kill off Black people globally. She spoke on the DBF's recent virtual business discussion.
Not only our countries, but our race is at stake. And conspiracies will not get us to solutions, but only distract from the true causes of our problems. Whether we blame this on little pink men or irradiated bacteria or the coronavirus, our world, as Michael Manley said, is shut tighter than a sardine can at this moment.
And DPSU President Steve Joseph advises Dominicans to be open-minded to the scientific facts and evidence which proves the effectiveness of the COVID vaccines against the COVID-19 virus. Joseph reiterates that the union maintains a position against mandatory vaccinations, but supports the idea of voluntary vaccination and emphasizes that vaccines do work.
But the union has always been interested in fighting this COVID crisis with government and with all the stakeholders involved in this fight. We want this thing beaten. And this is why we are taking some of the positions that we are taking, without trying to infringe on anyone's right. And this is why we're pushing voluntary vaccination. But we also know that there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of conspiracies. And so we believe there has to be a heavy emphasis on education. We need people to be at least open to the science. Not all of us are able to do the research or even to disaggregate the science and the information. People in the medical field, some of them cannot even disaggregate the information.
Joseph calls on all health professionals leading the cause for medical vaccination to get creative and consistent with disseminating factual information via various means in efforts to effectively combat the foolishness of conspiracy theorists and vaccine hesitancy campaigns.
So we need persons who are in that field to simplify the information, to explain about the vaccine. And this is why, you know, I welcome the opportunity to share a platform with the bishop and the doctor and the person from the business community on that panel discussion recently. And some people maybe didn't listen carefully, and that's why they misinterpreted some of the things that you said. But we are open to sharing that information. And my hope is the government will maybe, on its health education platform, you know, institute some link with that kind of information, that the layperson can simply go on to their website and want to get to know about the vaccines, press it and get more information. They want to get to know a little more about some of the side effects, or they want to know some of the science and broken down in labor language. Speak the language of the people, and they can access the information to help people buy in to that voluntary vaccination.
In other news, Antigua's curfew has been set for 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., wherein all bars and gyms will be closed as the government focuses on the impact of COVID-19 on the hospital and emergency centers, schools, and other public spaces. The acting chief medical officer provided information regarding the number of new cases August 24 and 25, numbered 58, taking the number of active cases to 222 patients suffering from COVID-19, 101 males and 121 females that range from 5 months to age 82 years. Of the 58 cases, 5 are fully vaccinated and 22 are not vaccinated, 31 are pending investigation. Cluster investigations are taking place at the Royalton Hotel, the St. John's Fire Station, police headquarters, and one person tested positive at the prison. There are 14 cases of infants as old as 11 years, 12 cases of 12 years to 17 years, 1,333 recovered cases. Presently, 27 cases are hospitalized and 6 beds occupied at the Infectious Diseases Center. The COVID ward has a total of 16 beds, 10 are now occupied. The IDC has 17 beds and 13 are occupied. The SLBMJMC COVID ward has 39 beds and 72% of them are occupied in the COVID ward. 3 of the 12 to 17 years old were tested positive during the last 2 days. One child is presently in the emergency room. In order to combat increases in the number of infected people, several changes have been brought about beginning on Friday night, the 27th of August, lasting for 2 weeks. Curfew hours again increase from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warns that up to 1,500 U.S. citizens may still be awaiting evacuation from Afghanistan. The U.S. State Department is in direct contact with about 500 of the remaining Americans, aggressively reaching out to others as the August 31st withdrawal deadline looms. Ed O'Keefe has this report.
The White House telling us just a few minutes ago that approximately 13,400 more people were evacuated from Afghanistan in about the last 24 hours. And the State Department is still in active communication with about 500 Americans still in the country, trying to determine if they want to get out with just hours to go in the evacuations.
It is risky for them to be there. It is a dangerous and difficult mission.
Vice President Harris in Vietnam this morning is in lockstep with the message from Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
There is no deadline on our work to help any remaining American citizens who decide they want to leave to do so, along with the many Afghans who have stood by us over these many years and want to leave.
In an interview on the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, Ambassador Ross Wilson, the top U.S. diplomat in Afghanistan, explained the extensive outreach to Americans in the country.
We have through the State Department and our consular officers in the region around Afghanistan and elsewhere, been placing phone calls to virtually all of those who have registered with us to find out, are they still in Afghanistan? Are they interested in leaving Afghanistan? Do they need help in leaving?
Wilson also said that the State Department had spent months issuing strongly worded warnings.
People chose not to leave. That's their business. That's their right. We regret now that many may find themselves in a position that they would rather not be in.
As the exodus continues, the Pentagon confirmed at least 3 helicopter missions to extract Americans from Kabul. That more could occur.
When we can help, and if we need rotary wing aircraft to help, we'll do it.
Meanwhile, that Republican congressman who took an unauthorized trip to Afghanistan is defending the trip he took with a Democratic colleague, saying they wanted to learn more about the backlog of special visas for eligible Afghans.
And we have not had information we need from the administration and realized that we were being lied to up and down, and we needed to see for ourselves.
Don't be surprised if we learn about more lawmakers who are trying to get into Afghanistan before this evacuation ends in the coming days. Meanwhile, today here at the White House, the president will meet virtually with a bipartisan group of governors whose states are planning to at least temporarily house Afghan refugees or help resettle them into their communities. A reminder, Gail, that while they are out of Afghanistan, the journey for many is just beginning.
And we're still hearing less and less, Ed, about the Afghan allies. Are you hearing anything about what's going to happen to them?
The State Department continues to say that if there are people who want to leave the country, they're going to try to figure out ways to do that after the deadline. But obviously, that'll be complicated by the fact that there won't be as big a U.S. presence there anymore.
And that's the midday news. But first, a recap of the headlines. Brenton Williams of Wesley is now on $120,000 bail after police searched a building occupied by him and seized over 296,000 euros. Antigua's curfew has been reset to 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warns some 1,500 U.S. citizens may still be awaiting evacuation from Afghanistan, and the State Department is aggressively reaching out to them as the August 31st deadline looms. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, where.